History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, seriously researched, hard-hitting history podcast told through entertaining stories. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning and welcome. It's a happy hump day, Trump day. It's the Bob Rose Show. And one of your top stories, Trump announcing the Golden Dome. We'll get to that. Your time check is brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. All right. We've got a lot to talk about. One of the things is they're trying to get through this big, beautiful bill. We're going to have Congresswoman Kat Kamick on at 8:05. Now, that depends on availability. Obviously, like it always does, she usually comes through, and if she can, it's usually just something that she is right in the middle of. So hopefully we'll get to connect with her. But you're going to hear some of these things tossed out there by the mainstream, the left stream, whatever, and that is, hey, this big, beautiful bill is going to add $3.3 trillion to federal debt over 10 years. Then there'll be claims that the interest rates will rise and private investment could suffer. Tax cuts will harm future generations. And two pretty astute gentlemen write on this from Breitbart. John Carney, he's their economics editor, and Alex Marlow, their editor-in-chief. Now, a lot of the modeling that's used by these economists when they come up with this, how do they come up with this $3.3 trillion added to the debt over 10 years? It's the Penn Wharton budget model. Penn Wharton, a business school of the University of Pennsylvania, very esteemed school. I'm not taking any shots at them. I'm just gathering information from these two guys that I think know what they're talking about as well. And they said, look, here's part of it. You're looking at a model. And basically, it's when the government borrows more, it competes with the private sector for capital, and that drives up interest rates, discourages business investment, and cancels out the growth that you might get from tax relief. That's like a theory. That's part of the model. But the problem, as they point out, is that we've lived through the test case. I mean, since the 90s, the debt-to-GDP ratio has soared from under 40% to more than 120%. Yet interest rates have mostly fallen, even during periods of rapid borrowing, including after the 2017 tax cuts. Bond yields remain historically low, and investments were up. There was no investment slump, and the cost of capital saw no spike. So interest rates didn't go up. And what they argue is that these models really are based on older assessments, because what they do is they look at the U.S. as a closed economy, and that if you use up some capital for government spending or paying down the debt, that somehow the private sector loses out or money becomes scarce. But in reality, the United States is the anchor of the global financial system. And, you know, put simply, when other countries are looking for economic investments, who do they look to? More often than not, they look to us. So there is much more of flow of incoming capital, than maybe that business model, that you know, Penn Wharton model shows. And put even more simply, remember when Al Gore and all the lunatics were telling us, you know, well, if we looked at our calendar right now, according to their prognostications, we would be literally underwater in Florida. I'm not exaggerating. It's exactly in line with what they had told us back then, because they based it on climate models. Well, as we come to find out, and not highly publicized, of course, but the models were flawed. I'm not blaming anyone for that. You have to base the model on something. I don't know. I'm sure there are numerous variables. The problem is, though, the model was not accurate. So everything that's launched or trajected off of that model is going to be skewed one way or another. It's going to be wrong. And that's exactly what we've seen. So anytime they look to these models, and there are so many variables, and in the case of the United States economy, man, it's so dynamic and diverse. All they can do is really take educated guesses, and it's always based on history, and history is not always a great predictor of the future, especially when it comes to economic things. So anyway, the bottom line of what I'm trying to say is all the things that we're doing now are very similar to what was done in 2017. And what was done in 2017 was tax breaks, and the country benefited from it. Jobs were produced, income went up. It was a win-win for everybody. And so this is maybe on a slightly larger scale of that, utilizing that and moving forward. Remember, it was COVID that ruined all that. It wasn't Trump's economic plan. Nobody planned for COVID. So just keep that in mind as we move through this kind of process, and they are going to try to just dumb you down, and the story they want to tell is, well, it's going to add to the debt, and it's just tax cuts for the rich. Well, neither one are true, but that won't stop them from utilizing that, because it has been an effective tool in the past. But now the Democrats have lost such levels of credibility. They haven't had credibility in my line of thinking for many, many years. But even in the minds of many who voted Democrat up until a couple of years ago, yeah, they don't have the credibility. They just don't have it. They can't be believed. They lied about Biden's mental state. I believe they more than likely lied about the prostate cancer. So what makes you believe anything coming out of their mouths now? I wouldn't. Maine State Representative Laurel Libby spoke to Fox News about her appeal to the Supreme Court. Why? What happened here? Well, apparently the state's Democrat majority in Maine voted to strip Libby of her voting rights back in February. You know what she did? She posted something on social media that called out a biologically trans athlete who won a girls' pole vault competition. In other words, she just said the truth. Hey, biological male has no business competing against females. Oh, you can't do that in Maine, apparently. She fought a legal battle to overturn the censure that was placed on her all the way up to the Supreme Court, and it paid off by 7-2. And she said, I most certainly do believe this is a civil rights issue for Maine girls and girls across the country who are being sidelined by biological males. She said the censure was a political retaliation from start to finish. You're punished for telling the truth. That's a problem. But at least the Supreme Court has stepped in this case and has restored her ability to vote on behalf of her constituents and to be able to do her job. The main defendant in her lawsuit, Maine House Speaker Ryan Fechtau, who passed the censure against Libby February 15th, has vowed to restore Libby's voting rights to comply with the Supreme Court ruling. Oh, I'll do it. I'll do it now. Punished her for speaking her mind in a very not hateful, malicious way, in a very matter-of-fact, honest way, in a very truthful way. Punish the truth. That's part of the agenda of the left. There's an example right there. 7:16 on the Bob Rose Show. Coming up next, what's bugging you? A chance for you to call in, air it out, get it off your chest, be ready to go right on the air, 877-975-9825. What's Bugging You is brought to you by Florida Pest Control. The only bugs that they can't control are litter bugs. Call in now. What's Bugging You on 97.3 The Sky.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, seriously researched, hard-hitting history podcast told through entertaining stories. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning and welcome to this happy hump day, Trump day. It's 7:21, the Bob Rose Show, rolling with What's Bugging You. Now is your chance to call in, air it out, get it off your chest. 877-975-9825. What's Bugging You is brought to you by Florida Pest Control. The only bugs they can't control are litter bugs. Do not be one of those. Good morning, Mark. What's bugging you?
Hey, good morning, Bob and Nick. What's bugging me is we have yet another federal circuit court judge whining about deportations. His name is Brian Murphy. I'm sure he was a fine Irish lad, but he's whining because we're deporting a guy from Myanmar and a guy from Thailand to South Sudan. And he's whining about, oh, you can't send them back to their, to, you know, some other third nation. But it's like, okay, if we're paying the airfare and giving you $1,000, you don't really have a choice of where you're going to end up. Use the $1,000 to get back to Myanmar. That bugs me.
Yeah, no, and I don't know all the details of that, but a lot of times they don't want to go back to their home country. Well, you can go wherever you want, but you can't stay here, I think, is the attitude, just like the bouncer says at 2 a.m. Good morning, Phil. What's bugging you?
What's bugging me that the federal government has cost major corporations like Ford and General Motors umpteeny billions of dollars to produce a product that nobody wanted, i.e. EV vehicles. Now, Toyota is totally canceling their EV production, and it's ridiculous. And, you know, this is like a Solyndra on steroids. It was ridiculous. They're going to lose jobs. The $7,500 tax credit is in the toilet. Come on, guys. Stop this green new scam.
Yeah, I hope they can completely address it during the Trump administration. And you're absolutely right. Can you imagine losing billions of dollars because all you did was try to keep up with the direction that the government was going to force you to go into? Not let the market, free market work, forcing you. Oh, but that's right. Trump's the authoritarian. Sorry, I forgot that. Good morning, Tom. What's bugging you?
Now, this is bugging me, and it should be bugging everyone in this country. This big, beautiful bill that Trump goes on ad infinitum for, right? He put it in place back in his first term, and when he did, the economy went on fire. And my understanding is this isn't going to affect just the millionaires and billionaires. It's going to affect all of us. Our taxes, if they don't bring this back, our taxes are going to go through the roof, and the economy is going to come to a crashing halt. And we're all going to be in a very, very bad place. So when it's portrayed as a tax cut for the millionaires and billionaires, that is only partially true, but it's mostly nonsense. It's going to raise our personal taxes. I've got no disposable income at all, and if my taxes go up any further, it's going to make things worse. And I'm not sure if that's not the end game for the Democrats who took such a shellacking here. If Trump is unable to take us out of this economic disaster that we were left with from 4 years of Biden, then they have a good shot at getting the House of Representatives and everything else. So this is a really bad political issue that we cannot lose on. And people have to stop looking at it as, oh, tax cuts for millionaires and billionaires. And they're like, well, that doesn't really affect me. I don't really care about it. No, guys, it affects all of us. Thank you very much, Bob.
No, and I can hear the passion in your voice, and you're absolutely right. And this big, beautiful bill is looking, though, it's looking very, very good. I think they're going to hammer something out completely in the House. And the Senate, the Dems, do not have the votes to stop it. So as long as Republicans stick together, we can make this thing work. And, yeah, I'm on board with everything that you said. And I'm not surprised. The Democrats are no longer the party of the working class. They still try to play that class warfare. But it's awfully two-faced when many of them leave, you know, government, you know, making $175,000 a year, which is way above the median income, but even so, to leave there with millions of dollars in the bank, it happens. So it happens pretty often. All right. Good morning, Tom. Thanks for holding on. What's bugging you?
Were you holding for Paul?
I'm sorry, Paul. My bad. You are on the air, sir.
Good morning. I don't know the Penn Wharton model in any detail, nor have I read the article that you cited in the earlier segment. But its rebuttal of Penn Wharton seems to be based on lack of movement of interest rates or interest rates staying low. But what it seems to ignore is the economic hot wiring that was done with interest rates during the Great Recession and during the pandemic that knocked interest rates down to zero. And in some cases, banks were charging money to store money. And so if it's going to leap over that very significant data, I think it is at least as suspect as the Penn Wharton model, because it seems to, like, again, overlook a continent of change that was put in place artificially.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't think that is probably given enough, you know, focus, like you brought up. I love the term you use, kind of hot-wired it. Yeah, we started to enjoy extremely low, almost zero interest rates for a while, but that really isn't realistic. However, the other side of that coin is, you know, when things get up around the 6, 7, 8 mark, especially when you get to 7, 8 or maybe 9 on mortgage interest, that makes a huge difference, obviously, in buying power and someone's ability to be able to crack that nut, make that payment. But yeah, and we were also, though, pouring, you know, trillions of dollars, you know, into the economy and messing with that whole bond market. I mean, you know, there's a lot of pieces there, and a lot of those pieces were moved around artificially, or like you said, hotwired. I like that. Sometimes when you hotwire something, what happens? You get sparks, a little boom, and if you're lucky, you just blew a fuse. Hopefully, that's all it is, and we get back on track. Love the input, everybody. Great job. 7:28 on the Bob Rose Show, and coming up at 8:05, Congresswoman Kat Kamick. How about that budget? We'll ask her that and a whole lot more on 97.3 The Sky.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, seriously researched, hard-hitting history podcast told through entertaining stories. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, another day in paradise, my friends. Happy hump day, Trump day. It's 7:35, your time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. And a reminder, the Bob Rose Show podcast is available wherever you normally download your podcast. You get it off Spotify, you get it off the Odyssey app. But once you click on subscribe, you'll never miss a minute of the show, like our interview coming up, when we're gonna chat it up with our friend Congresswoman Kat Kamick. What's going on with this big, beautiful bill? Is it going to be a reality? And maybe a mention of the Golden Dome. I can't do lasers. Pew, choo, choo. Otherwise, that's how I would set it up. As we talk about Ronnie Reagan, Star Wars 2.0, in the form of the Golden Dome. Goldfinger! Yes, Trump is, he's got it going on. Once again, the National Defense Shield is known as the Golden Dome. This can become a reality, possibly, before he leaves office. Wow. That's heavy, but he can do it. Canada wants in? Eh? Okay. Let's all get together. Let's make it happen. Once fully constructed, the Golden Dome will be capable of intercepting missiles, even if they're launched from the other side of the world, even if they're launched from space. We will have the best system ever built. Sounds like something Trump would say. Because, yeah, he said it. Trump said the Golden Dome will protect the homeland from advanced cruise missiles, ballistic missiles, and the one I think a lot of us are concerned about, hypersonic missiles. and highlighted how the project harkens to late President Ronald Reagan's Strategic Defense Initiative. The one big beautiful bill Trump is urging lawmakers to pass would pledge $25 billion to the project, which would eventually run with a final price tag of roughly $175 billion. Now, that's government. That's government money's there and estimation. So you can go ahead and round that up to, say, triple. But it may be well worth it, right? Pete Hegseth's pretty excited about it. He said it's a game changer. A generational investment in the security of America and Americans. It sounds like these crazy cockadoodles are looking out for the American people. They're so nationalistic. Oh, so off. Don't they know? Don't they know how bad America is? Didn't we hand out, like, smallpox blankets to Native Americans? We should all just burn in hell right now. We should all self-immolate. Oh, that would fix things. All right, lefties, you start. You go first. No? No takers? Okay. We move on. Borders are Tom Homan. Well, telling things in a Tom Homan kind of way. Talking about a bunch of things. But one thing that came up, ICE. ICE captured an Ecuadorian illegal immigrant facing vehicular homicide charges in Minnesota on Friday. There also was an August crash in which German Adriano Langari Inga allegedly had a blood alcohol content twice the legal limit, killed mother Victoria Eileen Harwell, hurt her teenage daughter and sister. Despite a lack of cooperation from local Minnesota authorities, ICE arrested criminal illegal alien, the German Inga. This criminal illegal alien has been evading prosecution for vehicular homicide. Anyway, long story short is, you know, ICE is becoming very, very effective, even in areas where they previously have not been all that welcome. And that is good news. In other words, Trump is pushing hard, making America safer for all Americans. Even if they were silly enough to elect a bunch of dumb Democrats and make their state or city a sanctuary city. So, even with forces working against you, the president and his people are getting it done. Batten down the hatches! Hurricane season is approaching. Look, we talk about it every year, and I will hopefully never get to the point to where I become really... becomes mundane, routine, and complacent. We don't want any of that. That's how you lose lives. You could be far inland, like many of us are in the listening area. You could be far inland and still suffer devastating consequences. Flooding, you can still drown inland. You can also get electrocuted by down wires. You can also live a very uncomfortable life without power for an extended period. So all these things we want to prepare for. And apparently the first tropical wave, 2025, formed off the coast of Africa. Now, they call it a tropical wave, but, you know, I bet you there's nobody surfing. It's not expected to threaten Florida or develop any further. Well, that's good news. Just another simple reminder that hurricane season officially begins on June the 1st. And they're looking at higher than average chance of direct impact in the Central Florida area. So that definitely could impact, you know, all of us. The Gulf's expected to have a higher than average chance of being directly impacted this hurricane season, with the U.S. East Coast having an average or maybe even below average chance of landfall. 4 to 6 major hurricanes are expected this year, with Andrea being the first name on the 2025 list. All right. Hopefully, Andrea will be nice and relax when she gets closer to the beach and not be a hurricane anymore. That would be a good thing. All right. Good things are happening. Congresswoman Kat Kamick, it looks like we've got a very good chance of getting her on at approximately 8:05. So stay tuned for that. They caught the 5th escaped inmate from the New Orleans jail, so 5 down. 5 still to go. This guy, Corey Boyd, is the one they busted, 19 years old, captured in New Orleans. Didn't get very far. And he was in jail because he's accused of killing Brandon Fee during a car burglary in 2024. He will be sent to a secure state facility booked for simple escape, and then they'll go from there. But he's got much larger charges looming anyway. Tulsi Gabbard was the victim of surveillance. Tulsi Gabbard? What? Well, this was before she was the director of national intelligence. Apparently, according to her, when she was on with Laura Ingraham back in July, she did an interview in which she talked about then Vice President Kamala Harris and her lack of leadership capabilities. And she really thinks that as a result of that, she was placed on a list through the TSA. And they call it Quiet Skies Watch List. She says it was politically motivated. And revelations have come forward. Yes, she was being surveilled under the Biden administration. That came to light during a Senate hearing. The Biden administration, yes, the intelligence community, I think, had a lot of sway, more sway than they should, and they have an agenda. And this is just one example. Of course, they spied on Donald Trump when he was just a private citizen and a candidate. Senator Rand Paul said at a Senate Homeland Security Committee meeting, a hearing actually, that he received a set of records from Homeland Security regarding Gabbard's placement on Quiet Skies that confirmed federal air marshals surveilled her on domestic flights in 2024. Paul noted that the air marshals reported back information related to the intelligence chief's appearance and how many electronics she was observed using. This TSA Quiet Skies program was established in 2010 to identify passengers for enhanced screening on some domestic and outbound international flights. Really, they were looking more for people that could be associated or somehow with terrorism. But look, they stretched that into, well, spying on an American citizen. DHS said in April of 2019 in a report that individuals are flagged for enhanced screening based on aggregated travel data, intelligence, a trend analysis of the intelligence, and suspicious activity. Huh. And she met the qualifications to be surveilled under that? I highly doubt it. She's probably right when she says politically motivated. If it's coming from the left, what else could it be? 7:45 on the Bob Rose Show. Looking forward to our conversation with Congresswoman Kat Kamick coming up at 8:05. And I wish everybody a very happy Hump Day Trump Day. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky. Happy Hump Day, Trump Day. Good morning and welcome. It is the Bob Rose Show. It is 7:50, 10 minutes till 8 o'clock. Hopefully, shortly after 8, we'll talk to Congresswoman Kat Kamick, find out what's going on with the big, beautiful bill. Is it going to pass? Is it going to be real? The Golden Dome, unveiled by the president the other day, a way to protect us Star Wars style that Ronald Reagan dreamt about back in the day. Could become a reality under Trump. I like it. I like it when everybody knows your name. You walk into a place, hey, Bob, what's going on? Even Norm, tip a beer at you. How you doing? Oh, that's right. That was a TV show. It was called Cheers. George Wendt, who played Norm, has passed away at the age of 76. See, Mike, he was like 70 on the show. Or 60, anyway. Could it be? Does the math work out? I don't know. Or is he one of those guys, one of those actors that that looks old when they're not old? Who was that guy that did the diabetes commercials? And he was also in, what was that kind of alien movie? Steve Guttenberg was in it. You know what I'm talking about? Brimley. Wilfred Brimley. Remember him? He was born about 36 years of age. By the time he was 18, he looked 50. Yeah, he built his whole acting career on that. Well, maybe more than just that. Anyway, ooh, speaking of bad actors, Cuomo on the hot seat. I'm talking about the former New York governor, Andrew Cuomo, the famous Cuomo family. Yeah, remember those nursing home deaths? Remember that COVID? Remember that, how nasty that was? And then he wrote a book praising himself, how awesome he was. Yeah, it was a little too much for me to take. And apparently the Justice Department has reportedly opened a criminal investigation into former governor Andrew Cuomo for allegedly lying to Congress about nursing home deaths in the Empire State during the COVID-19 pandemic. The probe was launched about a month ago by the D.C. U.S. Attorney's Office, according to the New York Times. The office was led at the time by Ed Martin, who was replaced earlier this month by Jeanine Pirro. The Republican-led House Oversight and Government Reform Committee asked Attorney General Pam Bondi to pursue criminal charges against Cuomo, of course a Democrat, for making criminally false statements during a June 11, 2024 interview with the House COVID subcommittee. In his testimony, he was adamant that he had not drafted, reviewed, discussed, or consulted people for peer review on the nursing home report, which was published by the New York State Department of Health. And then also there was a reference to Cuomo for prosecution last year. That comes from James Comer. But as request was denied by President Joe Biden's attorney general at the time, Merrick Garland. Huh. So we'll see. As some have said, the wheels of justice are finally beginning to turn. And saying this investigation is not just justified, it is overdue. Yeah, you've got grieving families. They have waited long enough. They should get all the information pertinent to how everything was done. And hopefully there'll be something maybe to learn from that. Yeah. Let's hope so. Some things that might be topical as far as news, how far can you dig into it? Case in point here would be what P. Diddy did or didn't do. Let's see if I can give you the latest in a family-friendly way. Exotic dancer known as the Punisher testified that he was hired for up to 12 freak-offs for Diddy, who was wasn't wearing anything, and apparently the Punisher was wearing an Islamic face covering. Okay. And I guess this case is interesting on a couple of different levels. Remember, this isn't about beating his girlfriend, which I think is pretty clear. Isn't there clear video evidence of that, in fact, happening? It's supposed to be a federal case. So you got to get into the trafficking or and or prostitution type things. And I think the question's been asked, you know, how is this really different than things that maybe went on at the Playboy Mansion? You can have all kinds of uncomfortable scenarios that you wouldn't put yourself into, or you certainly wouldn't want your daughter or sister or anything else to be involved with, but they weren't necessarily illegal, per se. I know this is over the top in what he did, but have they really spelled out the illegalities here, and have they presented a case thus far that points to these things at the federal level? I'm not sure. Is he a good guy overall? I don't think so. I mean, but I don't really know him, but based on all these things and accusations, it doesn't paint a very pretty picture. But there's not too many pictures, first of all, we could show you on the radio, and if we could, I don't know if you'd want to see him. Probably not. All right. We'll see if the wheels of justice, grinding slowly, but still grinding nonetheless, what happens. Congresswoman Kat Kamick, hopefully coming up next on News Talk 97.3, The Sky.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, seriously researched, hard-hitting history podcast told through entertaining stories. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.